We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
This week on the Garage Beers Podcast, it is episode 80, and we have got yet another very, very special guest. You saw her win gold in the Tokyo Games in the pole vault from Olmsted Falls High School. It's Katie Najat. Plus, we've got our Browns preview. The Cleveland Browns are playing football this weekend, a meaningful game against the Chiefs. We're going to preview that and so much more. So come on up the driveway, open up your favorite lawn chair, crack open a cold one, and join us for Garage Beers. And welcome on in, everybody, to episode 80 of the Garage Beers Podcast, brought to you proudly on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. Go check out Belly Up Sports and Unhinged Radio. You can find the Garage Beers Podcast there, along with a lot of other really good podcasts. Go find the Garage Beers at the Garage Beers on all of our socials, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and so much more. Joining you as always, I'm your host, Michael Keefe. You can find me at Garage Beers Mike on social media. And with me as always, my two co-hosts over on the east side of Cleveland. He's the bald and the beautiful. It's Chad Meyer, Garage Beers Chad. What's up, Chad?
Hi.
That was nice.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my, that was my reaching puberty. Hi.
Okay. So what's up?
Nothing. Nothing. What's up with you? No, I'm just kidding. Boys, I come to this podcast. I sit before you an ashamed man tonight. I am full of shame.
Standard week.
Because I came to the revelation today that I have never watched Remember the Titans.
What?
Yeah. What? I've never seen a single
watch Remember the Titans.
Of Remember the Titans. Not one single bit.
Wow.
So yeah, I plan on remedying that.
Joey, whose favorite sports movie moment was when Ricky Bobby stabbed his own self in the leg, has seen Remember the Titans.
I'm paralyzed.
You are so not paralyzed. All right. Yeah. So how is that possible?
I have no idea. It's like people that haven't watched The Wizard of Oz. It's like, what are you doing? So I'm going to be remedying that situation real soon.
Real soon. Actually, we're going to have to ask you to leave to go watch that, and we'll see you next week.
All right, fine. I'll watch it right now.
No, just kidding. You stay here.
You guys are just talking, and I'm like, oh, what the? Like, I just commentate the movie.
That's Gary Bertier. P.S. Did not know Gary Bertier's first name is spelled G-E-R-R-Y. Found that out when we did our fantasy football, our fictional fantasy football draft. Gary was G-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, I did that.
And I also didn't know, like, I knew that was based off of like a true story. I did not know that they used all the real people's names. No. So like Gary Bertier was Gary Bertier. Like, yeah.
I don't know. Wow. Man, look at that. That star needs to come by right now. The more you know.
The more you know.
The more you know.
All right. So Chad's sharing some sad information, but something that he'll get remedied. And you know what, Chad, you better fix that for next week, because we're going to want to hear a movie review of Remember the Titans from Chad Meyer next week.
That's again, sweet follow, ass. I'll have it.
Follow Chad on his socials at Garage Beers Chad, and down in Nashville, Tennessee at Garage Beers Joe. It's Joey Whalen. What up, Joe?
What up?
What's going on, man?
I had a big weekend.
Did you?
I did.
Did you?
I did. It was quite an eventful and wonderful weekend, and I am now engaged to my fiance.
Oh, snap.
Oh, sucker.
It was really funny because the entire time we were prepping to do it, Michael and my sister Katie were sneaking around, like getting ready to like take pictures of us. But we're using the Garage Beers chat to like send those messages so I could like check my phone in case there's an update. And I think we went quite a couple hours after before actually telling Chad that it was a success or not.
Right.
And Michael's like, you should probably tell Chad, because like I don't think he knows that it went well.
Like Mike sends me a separate text going, hey, don't respond to anything on Garage Beers. Like I'd be like, oh yeah, Joe, you're gonna want to go down this path around the treehouse.
Have you met Chad? Have you met you?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I wasn't gonna ruin it, but I did it. But I did enjoy the play-by-play. Like I don't know. Mike was like, no, you're supposed to come down the bridge, you moron. Like.
All right, boys. So we got Chad hanging out, having a good time, getting ready to watch a movie he's never seen. We got Joe, that's an engaged man. You just look different, Joe, just being engaged and all.
I'm glowing now.
You're glowing, honey.
I'm glowing now.
All responsible, like, and stuff.
How are you, Mike? How are you, Mike? How was dinner at the grandma's?
You know what? I'm great. I had a fun weekend. We got to be with Joey and Maddie on their special weekend. We got to hang out with Maddie's family a little bit. We did the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, the train that goes through there. Yeah, that was fun, right? I got Patrick. He's 4. He got to go on a train. He thought that was cool. So we got to do that. I'm in a good mood. Life is good. This week is flying by. We got a Browns game coming up this weekend. There's not a lot that can bring me down, my man. There's not a lot that can bring me down.
Go. Let's go.
Now let's celebrate this dude getting engaged by cracking open some cold beers and drinking them. It's time for our Garage Beers of the Week. And so, Joe, you're the man of honor, but like, that's a weird thing to say to a guy get married. You're the bride to be.
It's adorbs.
You're the bride to be, Joe. So you're going to lead us off. What's your Garage Beer of the Week this week?
This is just the exact like vibe I feel to be newly engaged. It's another tailgate beer. It's called AC.
Very heavy. It's very heavy.
What?
Nothing. This is the vibe I feel after getting engaged. It's a very heavy beer. It's very heavy.
It's 15.4%.
No, it's actually like it's a 9.5% per beer, or 9.5% beer. But it's surprisingly light. It's tailgates, triple trees. They see me rolling. It's absolutely delicious. It doesn't really have a great like description on here, but it's got cool artwork. Very like.
What kind of beer is it? What's it taste like?
Just like a double IPA.
There it is.
There it is.
Delicious.
Probably that. Absolutely delicious. Super smooth. It's probably the best like high quality beer that I've had at a tailgate, which is great. It's one of their new ones, so I hope they keep this one around.
Nice. So good, delicious double IPA. Gotta love that. Chad, over on the east side, what are you drinking for our Joey celebration?
Hi. hi again. It's
Welcome
me.
Welcome back.
My beer this week, fellas, I got to send a shout out to my old buddy, Josh Wally Montgomery. And he lives all the way on the other side of the state. He lives in Bryan, Ohio. But recently he came into town, stayed at our place for my buddy Sean's 40th birthday. We went to Lake County Captain's game. It was great. And he brought me 2 6-packs of beer from one of his favorite spots out that way where he lives. This is from Maria Stein, Ohio, where there is jack shit to do other than go see Maria Stein Marion local high school football. But I guess this establishment popped up called Moeller's Brew Barn. And this is a beer that they actually collabed with the brew kettle on, and it's called Summer Cabruin. And it's a hazy pale ale, and it is it's very fruity. It has tangerine, mango, lemon, and pineapple in it. And I gotta say, it's pretty good, fellas. It's not overly hoppy. It is a pretty smooth drinking beer. A very drinkable summer pale ale. So it's a Moeller's Brew Barn, and this Summer Cabruin hazy pale ale.
Love it. Who doesn't love Cabruin? Gotta love that. All right. So that's gonna bring it to me, and I'm gonna repeat a brewery that's already been said on here. But hold on, let me crack this open. Again, Joey was home for the weekend, and being the handsome young gentleman that he is, he brought me beer from Nashville.
What a nice guy.
And so I'm going back to tailgate where Joey just was, and he brought me this delicious Imperial Peanut Butter Milk Stout. Imperial Peanut Butter Milk Stout with King Kong on the can. It is, it's heavy. Like super heavy. It's one of those super thick, just almost the consistency of pudding milk stout. Ooh. And that's my favorite way to drink a stout, is just when it's heavy and thick and you almost have to chew it. And this thing, again, it's Imperial Peanut Butter Milk Stout. So you've got it's a little boozy, boozier than a normal stout. The peanut butter shines through. It's got a sweet kick to it. Man, it is grade A delicious.
Listen, let's not downplay this historical moment on the podcast here, Mike. Okay? I don't think we've ever had more than one beer from the same brewery on an episode on this podcast. History is being made, folks.
80 episodes in, and history is being made. And I thought about for a minute when I saw Joe start to like read his or let us know what beer he had. For a minute, I thought, oh, shit, maybe I should run to the garage and get one. And I thought, no, it's okay. We like Tailgate. Tailgate's a friend of the show. They give us some love online. And it's a great place. It's a fun place down on the west side of Nashville. If you're ever down in Nashville, Tailgate Brewery, casual, fun place, good food, big, huge outdoor space to hang out. It's just an overall good time. So, again, mine is the Imperial Peanut Butter Milk Stout. Those are our garage beers of the week.
Beautiful.
Let us know what your garage beers of the week are. Send us pictures. Send us messages on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Let us know what you're drinking. Let us know if you have any suggestions. We'll go out and try them. But to you, the listener, we say cheers. To you guys here on the podcast, I say cheers. And now it's time to get in to what's going to be an awesome episode. Episode 80, we have got a lot of fun stuff planned. And it's going to start with our incredible special guest. A little bit earlier, the three of us had a chance to talk with one of the most fun conversations we've had, Olympic gold medalist, NCAA champion, Ohio high school champion. The list goes on and on. And just right now, it's safe to say that she is the best. She's the best pole vaulter in the world, as she just won gold in Tokyo. We're going to send it over right now to an awesome interview with the one and only Katie Najat. All right, now we are very excited to be joined by yet another extremely special guest. This person, our special guest, brought home, in Cleveland, we love our champions. We love our hometown champions. And we gained one this summer in the Olympics in Tokyo. She brought home the gold medal in the Tokyo Games, in the pole vault, native Clevelander, Olmsted Falls High School, Ashland University, Katie Najat. Welcome to the Garage Beers Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. This is
absolutely.
We are very excited to have you on. There's a lot to talk about. And like I said, it's I'm super excited to talk to you a little bit about your reception when you came back too, because like I said, we in Cleveland love our champions.
Yes, I know, because I am a Clevelander. Like I get behind anyone and everyone that is successful as an athlete or just as a person. So to be on the receiving end of it is so cool. It's overwhelming and crazy to me, because it's like, it's just me. I just loved to pole vault. Like I just jump over a stick with a stick. Like what? How do I deserve any of this, but it's so cool. And I'm just so grateful.
Well, I think
now,
Go ahead, Chad.
I was going to say, do you still live in the area? Like I know you said you're Eastern time zone, but
not currently. I am training in Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm definitely here, but my family, immediate, extended, et cetera, they're all in Cleveland. So I come back pretty frequently.
All 52 first cousins are in Cleveland?
But a lot of them are still. Oh, okay. Those are my dad's extended cousins. I only know 20 of them.
Gotcha. So. Okay.
One of the things that I'm excited to talk to you about, right? We have athletes on here. We have broadcasters on here. We have people on here that a lot of people like. I've played baseball, right? I never played Major League Baseball, but I know what it's like to play baseball. I know what it's like to play football. Chad played football. He knows what it's like to play. Yeah. Nobody knows what it's like to pole vault. Like there's like seven people that know what it's like to pole vault.
Yeah.
So just like, I'm so excited
it's
to kind
a little
of
easier to win.
No, that's not true. It's so few people actually get to experience that feeling and that sensation and all that. So we're so excited to talk to you about it. But before we get into that, I got a question for you.
Okay.
So we got to clear something up. You were a collegiate champion at Ashland, yes. An NCAA champion at Ashland for the Eagles.
Yes.
Our own Chad Meyer was a world-class water boy for the Ashland football team.
Woo! Let's go.
Hey. That's first team all GLIAC water boy to you, pal.
There you go.
Yeah. I feel like the AU alumni though. That like makes us instant friends, Katie.
Absolutely. Of course.
That being
there
said,
aren't many of us, so.
No. That being said, did you hear from Judd at all?
Oh yeah. Oh, he was one of the first people that reached out, and actually I am going to be the commencement speaker in December.
Yes.
So
nice.
School has definitely been in contact. I'm, you know, terrified. What can I possibly say to, you know, it's not like it's just standing up on stage talking about me and what I've done. It's like, how do I give words of wisdom to these people? But I'm really excited. I think it's going to be awesome.
Well, I'm just hoping that someday you have a plaque or maybe a statue at Ashland somewhere near the Chad Meyer Memorial Water Fountain.
Yeah, we'll see. I still only pole vault, so I don't know about
that. It could be a view just vaulting over me, just pouring water into somebody's mouth.
I wouldn't want it any other way.
No, exactly. It's perfect.
That's exactly how I pictured it in my head when I saw it. So, yeah.
See, like, it's instant friends. It's the AU. We're simpatico right now.
I feel like, in fairness, I feel like I almost have to say something nice about Chad, and I can't pull myself to do it. But Chad actually did play football. So he wasn't, he wasn't just the water boy, but he was part-time. He played both ways. All right. So, first and foremost, Katie Najat, Cleveland native. What makes one start in pole vaulting? Like, how did you get your start as a pole vaulter?
So when I was in seventh grade, it was the first year we could do sports for our school, and track and field was on the list. And I was somebody that wanted to try everything, any sport. So I liked that track and field there. You could run, you could do field events, you could do anything. And so when they took us to the high school the first day, I saw the high schoolers doing it. And I was a gymnast when I was younger. I loved anything involving adrenaline and upper body strength and daredevil-ish activities. And so it really just drew me in immediately. But at that time, it was so new for women. It had only been in the Olympics since 2000, and this was 2004. So it had only been in the Olympics one time. And I think my coaches, it's a very technical sport and it's very intimidating. So I think they didn't want to deal with, you know, a middle schooler doing it, but I just begged them for days to let me go over and try it. And they finally did. And when you first start, you're gripping so low, you're gripping like halfway down on the pole. You're more like long jumping into the pit, but just happen to have a pole in your hand kind of swinging. And so it's not what it looks like now, or like at the elite level, but it just was so fun. And the second day I came out and I landed back on the runway, I got a little too excited, gripped a little too high. It was very humbling. But I still loved it.
this is easy. Whoa, no, it's not. Oh, no. Yeah,
right? I was like, first day, got this. Nope.
I still remember being like, first of all, track and field, not this guy. But I remember seeing a video of a guy, and I feel like this is like one of the oldest like viral videos, a video of a pole vaulter, a male that cleared the bar and like was kind of celebrating on his way down. But then his pole came over and got him right in the groin. And I was like, well, that sport is not for me.
Yeah,
that is not it. Yeah,
it doesn't happen very often. And that's the thing is like the pole breaks, those videos, they're circulated everywhere, but they're pretty rare.
Yeah.
I mean, usually if you're doing it relatively correctly, it's honestly a safer sport than it looks. It's safer than gymnastics or football because it's very consistent. Like you link in the pit. It's just, I think a lot of times you get maybe some high schoolers that get excited and grip a little high, but they're actually gripping high enough and strong enough to, you know, get rejected in the air. But yeah, so stuff that it doesn't happen too often, but yeah, I mean, Sandy Morris, who won the silver medal in 2016, she was coming down the pole, clipped her right in the leg, and she has like a mark. I think the way that I go over, I always kind of push it back or to the side anyway. So it's usually more the people that are working the standards that kind of have to look out.
I hear planes could be dangerous for breaking poles too. Say like back in May, like on the way back from an event.
Whoops.
That had to have been like, what happened there? That had to have been a nightmare.
I don't know. To this day, I still don't understand because the amount of force that it would take to snap an entire bag of poles in half, because these poles are designed to bend. So to have 9 of them in that tube, you know, snap in half to where it would break is insane to me. But yeah, I just walked over to baggage claim and from a distance, I could see that they were just laying there, but I saw one of the workers just pick up an end and it kind of went like this, like bent in half, and like half of it stayed flat and then half of it lifted. And I went, oh no, that's not supposed to do that. And I walked over and sure enough, every single one of them was snapped in half.
Oh my gosh.
And it was very nauseating. I mean, I'm 1 month out from the trials, so it was just not what you want to deal with, but it ended up being, in a weird way, the best thing to ever happen to me because I, in a turn of events, got to try different pole companies and brands and got on a different brand that I think really made the difference for me. So, yeah.
Overcoming adversity. Love it.
Yeah.
There it is. There it
been
is.
My whole year or career, really. But yeah.
Well, so here's the cool thing, right? So you've been a champion at like every level. Right. You set a state record in Ohio in high school. You're an NCAA champion from Ashland. So you've always been extremely successful at the pole vault. And yet still, it's got to just be insane to you that you just won a gold medal in the Olympics. Right. Like, what is that? What is that even like? How does it compare to all these other championships and things that you've done?
What's funny is it just doesn't. It still doesn't quite feel real. Like I know it's real and I have my moments, but there is a bit of a disconnect of so much about that meet felt like other meets that we do. And, you know, we're in a stadium. It's the same women that I compete with on a regular basis. And so the fact that this one is just so different and that was the Olympics, because I think when I watched the Olympics, it's like, these phenoms, these superstars, these people you only ever see on TV. And I still feel like that's the case. Like the actual Olympics is going on somewhere else.
Right.
Like, and it's crazy. But I think what's worked in my favor is, yes, I've had success at each level, but it took me years. So like it took me until my senior year of high school. It took me until my senior year of college. It took me until 5 years out of college to win US nationals and get a contract. And then it took me two times of trying out for the Olympics to get here. And so I've definitely had a lot of this and roller coaster of a career, but a general upward trajectory. So that's kept me motivated. But I think that has really helped me to just keep at it, but stay, I mean, hopefully humble. I don't know.
I mean, so far, so good. So far, so good.
I guess I can't call myself humble. That's not so humble. But
oh my God, did you see how humble I was on that interview?
Right.
My God, world records, no big deal. Really,
but I'm just such a humble person that, like, no.
Now, to follow up with that, Katie, you know, you talked about getting a contract, and, you know, we've had Olympians, past Olympians on the show. We've had a few swimmers, you know, and people don't normally kind of associate Olympians and as these like millionaire athletes. Like, what is the path that like an Olympian needs to take to actually, you know, like start making some money off of the sport?
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everyone and every sport is going to be different. So like I could not give a swimmer like the right advice, but in track and field, it just comes down to the numbers. It's just how high you jump, how fast you run, and really it's about making teams, making world teams, making Olympic teams, and your possibility of medaling. That's really because track and field is not a very visible sport. Like in the US, it's just not out there a ton. And it's not like the NFL or the MLB, the NBA, where it's on all the time. There's millions of dollars flooding in from fans and from this and that. And so you just, it's a business. And so you just have to perform, and your numbers and results kind of speak for themselves. So, but I had to jump the fifth highest height ever in the history of the sport to get a contract.
What?
So,
Jesus.
And it's, So, and I mean, I'm so grateful for that, but it's just, that's the reality of the sport that I'm in. So
wait, so when was that? When was that jump?
That was 2018. So that was to make the indoor world team.
Got it.
And then the outdoor world team in 2019. But at both of those, I placed, I think, anywhere from fifth to seventh. Like, like I said, it took me, a couple times at each level to then stand at the top. But
The one thing that I looked at, right? And again, so was your Olympic jump, that was not like a personal record jump for you?
No, but it was within 2 inches. So it was close.
So like way off.
Close enough.
Way off.
Yeah. So it was only 5 centimeters difference. So the next bar would have tied my personal best. So if the Russian girl had made it, then I would have, that would have tied my personal best.
So the thing that I thought was cool, right? High school, obviously you grow, you get stronger as you become more of an adult, all that. And you train and you train and you train and you train. But the thing that I thought was awesome, right? You set the state record in high school. Your gold medal vault that you did in the Olympics was like a full meter higher than your state record setting pole vault that you did in high school. Like, how crazy is that?
I'm glad I didn't know how long it would take or how much higher I would have to jump, because I probably would have given up a long time ago. I think I was just like, just enough full of myself that like, I was like, oh, I could do this professionally. I could do this. Like, and I think myself and other high schoolers included, like they think it's very linear. Well, I jumped like, this much of a PR this year, so I'll do that next year and do that. And that's not, and it takes so much more work and so much effort just for centimeters that like, I am glad that I was pretty delusional to that, because I would have possibly given up a long time ago.
So here's a question that I had, right? The one downside of everything that went on in Tokyo in the Olympics is that normally like, the Najats are there. And friends and family, and like there's plans, and you've got this cheering section and all that stuff. So like, was like How much did Team USA become the family for you and your teammates as far as celebrating your gold medal and living it up? And how fast, after you won gold, how fast did you call somebody at home, somebody family to celebrate?
Pretty quickly. I mean, the Team USA camaraderie, you can just feel it. Like even from other teams, I walked to breakfast the next day and the baseball coaches were telling me congrats and, you know, other sports are, so it was just, but when I competed, I was, you know, one of the last events of the day. And so the only people after me were the multis. And so I'm up doing an interview and then I just hear screaming from behind me and it was all the multi girls cheering me and it's just so nice. But I think the thing I will say, as much as I would have loved for my family to be there, I was kind of glad it was very cut and dry.
Sure.
And that, okay, now they were able to save the money and they were going to be, they could be in a place with all of my family and friends, like everyone we've ever like loved and cared about. It was all in one place at a bar, 6 a.m.
Yep.
Watching them compete, like, and getting to watch that back of their reaction in the moment was just so cool. It still gives me goosebumps, like just thinking about it. So,
yeah, I don't know your friends or family,
yeah.
But I was watching those videos from that bar and I just, yeah. I thought that was the coolest, right? Cause they were updating them on Twitter. They were just like, what bar was it? I don't remember what bar it was.
It's called Fat Little Buddies.
Yes.
So it's just dive bar in Sid Falls, Ohio.
Yes.
So great.
Yeah. And I just, they kept cutting like every time, like you and then the Russian girl and then you, and like just the reactions were incredible. And the scenes from that bar were, I was a little upset that I wasn't there. I wanted to be at Valley Buddies. That's 6 in the morning.
I wish I could be in places at once because I like had FOMO not being there.
It's fantastic bar food. I've had a couple of Diet Cokes there and some food. It is delicious. If anybody ever goes up there.
The wings are so good. It's my friend's favorite wing place.
All right. So the thing that we got to talk about here, besides your incredible accomplishment, is you pull such a phenomenal reenactment of one of the greatest moments in Cleveland sports history. When you look into the camera, like almost immediately after you win a gold medal, and you scream, "Cleveland, this is for you." What was it like? Were you planning on that? Was that like a plan for you?
No, I mean, so leading up to it, I just, that flashed in my head and I was like, that'd be pretty cool, but I don't know if I'm going to seem like kind of a jerk, like trying to copy LeBron and like,
listen, remember, I'm very humble.
I was on a podcast and someone wrote in, will you do that? And I started laughing because I'm like, I've thought about this, but I'm like, do I do that? And they were so for it. And then they posted it on Twitter and I just said like, should I do this? And everyone was like, yes, 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 yes. And I honestly wasn't even thinking about it up until that moment. It was like, it just hit me. And it was genuine. Like I love Cleveland. I was thinking of my family back home, everyone watching. And I'm like, I want to give them a shout out. Like, and it all hit me. And I like, so I don't want it to seem like, oh, I had this big plan. Like it wasn't like that. It just in the moment, I need to do this. And so I said it and it became a big thing. I was actually, I was at a bachelorette party this weekend and I was at a bar and there was a bachelor party there. And the one guy said he was from Cleveland and just chatted. And then my friend, of course, just was screaming my accomplishment. And he kind of looked at me and he was like, "Cleveland, this is for you."
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, cool. It's been overwhelming, but like, everyone responded so well to it. I really thought if I ever did that, people would be like, "Oh, what a
no, 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 like, no."
Listen, man. I hate that you did that. I'm really humble. You know, Cleveland champion, high school champion, gold medal.
Okay, my
no big deal.
All I know is it's 7 in the morning or whatever time it was when you did that. And I was like, it was like better than a cup of coffee in the morning. I was like, people in my house were like, talking about.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think my friends stayed at that bar for a while that day. Some of them went to work after, some of them didn't.
Why would you not stay at that bar all day? That is, yeah. If there's anything worth celebrating, it is that. So I think one of my favorite things about watching pole vaulting is that there's a Wile E. Coyote moment. And so it's always whether a jumper, is it a vaulter, a jumper? I don't want to sound like an idiot.
No, either one.
Or more of an idiot than I normally am.
No, we'll call them like jump days or...
Okay.
We're going to today. So yeah, you're good.
Okay. So the jumper either clears the bar or they don't. And there's this moment where they react, but it feels like they're not moving. They're just like hanging in the air and they react like Wile E. Coyote when you jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
You had a great one. Like, thanks. You cleared and your face was just like pumped and excited. And you were just like suspended in the air. Like, does it feel like you're kind of suspended in the air at that moment? Like, is it like a pause for you?
Yes. Like, it's just, you haven't touched it. And I think in that moment, what I love about pole vault is we don't have time to calculate what our face is going to look like. It's just your reaction. Like that is just as honest as it gets. And so I really like that. And I think part of why I was so excited with that jump was, one, the meet didn't start well. And so I think once I had found my rhythm and then cleared that 490 bar, which is the 16-foot barrier, to do that, having not started so well, that was exciting. And I knew that that was going to be tough to beat. I knew that both of those girls could have cleared it and are very capable of clearing it, but that was going to put me in a better position, and clearing the next bar would be difficult. And then when I took off the ground, I really thought I messed it up. When you take off the ground, like, you feel immediately if it's like a good jump or not, like things are smooth, energy is transferring seamlessly. And that one, and you can kind of see me come off the top, like kind of on my side a little bit, but I said to myself, like, yeah, wow, you wasted that attempt, but like, I fought for it. And so part of it was just shock too, that I was so excited. Like, I had never cleared a bar feeling like that. And my coach said that I was just, my takeoff step was just so far under, and obviously our hands are at a very fixed point, so like, you don't want to take off too close. But I took off so close that the pole just like scooped me up and shot me straight up in the air. And it just felt
that's very those new poles. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I don't know if I could have done that on another pole. So yeah.
Let's talk for a minute about just life in Tokyo. I think everybody wants to know about the cardboard beds.
Yeah. Well, they weren't flimsy. They weren't going to fall apart, but they were rock hard. I will say that they were not comfortable. I brought two mattress pad covers, and it's still, I think why my first couple attempts were not great was all during the warmups, my quad on my takeoff leg was so tight. It would not loosen. It kept cramping. It kept grabbing in a way that I've never really felt before. And it was the closest thing I felt to, if I jump off of this wrong, or if I do too much too soon, it's going to tear. It's just going to
fall. Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Of all the meets, you want to start this today? And so I think part of that might have been that the beds, just my hips never really sunk in, and the whole time I was there, it was just, my legs were just crazy tight. So the beds were something.
Not recommended.
But like, you got to give it to them for, you know, they can recycle those, and then they're gonna, you know, turn those into apartments. And so it worked, and I'm fine. I did fine. So
you did okay. You did okay.
Well, but I mean, understand why, like, the basketball team will like rent out a hotel room or you know, hotel, whole hotel.
They didn't do that for
you. I mean, I think I'm done. I think I'm done now. My one thing I wanted when I came into this discussion here, Katie, was I was curious whether I'd be switching my bed frame out with a cardboard one.
You can try. I mean,
but now that I know, just three mattress pads.
Yeah, really. It was my fault that I didn't bring the right amount.
Totally. Yeah, you should have thought about that. And you would think what Team USA would have prepared you better.
They didn't give us enough stuff.
But otherwise, let's talk a little bit about returning, because the other video that was cool was you showing up at the airport. Oh, I don't want to hold on. I had a question and then I lost it, and I'm bringing it back. I want to go back to Cleveland. This is you for a minute. This is for you.
Okay.
Did you hear from LeBron? Like, did he react to that?
No.
What?
No, of course not. He has got way better things to do.
So did you hear from who are the cool people you heard from after you won the gold medal? Like, anybody cool?
The actor Mickey Rourke followed me on social media and posted about me winning. I was honored. Like,
I'm sorry.
So big time. Gosh, who else? I know that they didn't follow me, but my post about my dad and my tapping my shoes went kind of viral, and one of this meme accounts posted it, and Sharon Stone, the actress, commented on it, and then Katie Couric commented on it.
Okay,
they know I exist. This is insane. Bernie Kosar, I was like, no, like, this is awesome.
Yes.
And then the UFC fighter, Stipe. Yeah, he posted about it on his story. Jake Paul invited me to his fight.
Oh boy.
Emily Mayfield followed me. I was like, I like you so much more than Baker. Like, oh. The coolest thing ever. But yeah, it was just, it's been so cool. And you just don't, like, I know the Olympics have this reach, but it's so strange being on the other side of it. I just am doing what I always do. Like, it's crazy, but
I'm dying at Mickey Rourke. I'm dying at Mickey Rourke.
I know. What? I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, he is so awesome.
Oh my God. Mickey Rourke. That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and he posted about it too. That's the best part, is it wasn't just like, hey, congrats. Like, he made a full post, like, and he's been commenting on, like, when I did Prefontaine, my last meet, he congratulated me. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. <That's>
incredible. So random, yet so awesome. God almighty. Yeah, I've been watching pole vault since The Wrestler.
The Wrestler.
I didn't even know he was on social media. Like, I figured he'd be like way too cool for that, but it's been really fun.
Yeah. Talk about returning. Did you spend a little time at home in Cleveland before you headed to Atlanta or whatever? Were you able to
I did.
Do the rounds, victory laps? Yeah. Was it pretty fun hanging out around here as a champion?
Oh my gosh. So cool. So overwhelming. I don't think I've ever been that tired in my life, but it was the best feeling ever. I did my meet and greet, and it was supposed to just be till 8 p.m. and people stayed until 11 to have me sign an autograph and just have a very short conversation with that. It was amazing. And they got poured on in the rain, and still they moved it inside, and they just sat in the gym and,
oh my gosh,
so soaking wet, they still wanted to chat with me, and I was so grateful for that. And it's funny, because coming home, I said to my mom, the mayor was talking to her about what they wanted to do, and he was like, well, do you want a parade? I'm like, no, absolutely not. Like, I do not need a parade. No one's going to come. We don't need to shut down roads. Like, we can do the meet and greet. That'll be great. And then I got two parades.
Yes! So,
one of them was in the Rolls Royce that LeBron had ridden in, his personal one the parade. And I, like, what?
I think that's what you call full circle there. Cleveland, this is for you. Rolls Royce.
Yeah, that was really the plan that I had hatched. No.
Someday LeBron's going to be like, I hope Katie Najat retweets this.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, the only other time, it's funny because when I won the state championship, I was the main picture and then he was in the bottom corner. Mm-hmm. And my mom's friend was like, you put LeBron in the bottom corner of the floor. And it's just, it's all coming.
I don't know whether this is going to develop into like a friendship or just the best rivalry in sports.
Yeah,
LeBron maybe. Versus KD Nejat rivalry.
We hate each other. No.
So I had my other question here and then I lost my screen. You also brought up, so I'm going to ask you a totally random question off the wall. You brought up Bernie.
Yeah.
So obviously you're a Cleveland person. Are you a big sports Cleveland fan?
Big fan.
How we feeling about the Browns this year? How we feeling?
Great. And actually, I'm going to go speak to, I guess, some of the players when I'm home. Like that above all else was just like, what?
What?
I don't know. Maybe this is supposed to be a surprise. I don't know. But the defensive back coach reached out to me and asked if I would want to come in and chat with them. I'm like, what could I possibly say to these grown men superstars? But I don't know. But that just was, I've been the biggest Browns fan. And granted, I am admittedly, like, I couldn't go through the roster. But I watch when I can. I always cheer for them. They're the only football that I watch other than Ohio State. I've always been a big Browns fan. So I'm so excited that we're doing well.
Yeah, right?
So much more fun.
We're doing this. I don't know. That makes me excited too. Olympic champion KD Nejat's feeling good about the Browns. And that's got to mean something. And LeBron's arch nemesis is feeling good. Are you going to be the bad guy in the next Space Jam movie?
I started watching the Space Jam movie and I have it like my friend came and said that. So, but no, I will definitely be in the video game.
Yes.
You turned it off. You turned it off when you realized the rivalry was on. You're like, I can't finish it.
Well, listen, Katie, we really appreciate your time coming on with us tonight. We've had a great time talking with you. We feel so excited. You brought a tremendous amount of pride. Again, we love in Cleveland. We love our champions. And I know all of us on the podcast talked about it. We were up watching it early, wishing we were at Fat Little Buddies. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So hanging out with that group because it looked like a good time. But listen, congratulations on everything. Truly, we had a great time with you through all the laughs. Really an awesome accomplishment and very well deserved.
So thank you so much.
Really, really appreciate you coming on with us.
No, I appreciate you having me. This was great. This was a lot of fun.
And once again, that was our incredible interview with KD Nejat. Just a great time. She's still training for another event, which is crazy. After you win gold, how do you train for another event after you win gold? I'm not sure where the motivation comes from, but she's still working, drinking electrolyte drinks. And she was just a blast to talk to. Really cool to talk to a Cleveland champion, like we said on the show during the interview, a Cleveland champion. She did the Cleveland This Is For You thing after she won gold. And she turned into a local legend overnight. And now everybody knows who she is. And that is very cool. So, again, our thanks go to KD Nejat. And, guys, now we're going to transition because we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't talk about the fact that your Cleveland Browns play a week one game in just a few short days, this upcoming Sunday, September 12th, 4:25 PM. It's the big game of the week. It's going to have Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call, and they are in Kansas City to face off against Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs. Boys, it's finally here. All the preseason is done. All the talk is over. It's time for Cleveland Browns football. How are we feeling?
So excited, dude. Are you fucking kidding me?
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, come on.
Guys, it has been one of the cleanest, one of the kind of happiest.
Yeah.
One of the easiest off seasons as a Browns fan. And frankly, it looked like as a Browns player,
mm-hmm.
it went according to schedule. They brought in a bunch of talent. They drafted a bunch of talent. Nobody stepped out and got like devastating injuries during like camp or during a preseason game. It just was clean. And now it's a weird, it feels weird, but it's time to gear up because it's time to go in and see if this Browns team, they face an amazing test. I don't want to hear about like, oh, they need to mesh. Oh, this needs to happen or that needs to happen. Frankly, nope. Win or lose against the Chiefs, I'm not going to go crazy, whatever they do.
Right.
But it's go time. There's right. no more talk to be had.
Right. Yeah. The offense has no excuses. The defense, a little bit. You could say that a little bit of time to mesh for the defense. You know, there were a couple of injuries in camp, but, you know, they are breaking in almost pretty much a brand new secondary and a few linebackers. So, you know, the back half of the defense, they do need a little bit of time to mesh, I think. But for the most part, the offense, especially offense, they have no excuses. So it's going to be incredible. I mean, this week one clashing. Yeah, you're right, Mike. I'm not going to go too crazy over what happens, win or lose. The only thing that really is going to scare me is if they're just not competitive at all, which I don't think will happen at all. So, it's an early week one test to see what the Browns are made of. And I couldn't be more excited.
Oh, before we break down the Browns Chiefs game, let's hit on a couple of things that have just been lingering throughout camp and now on the back end of camp. And the one thing, and we've talked about him a lot, but this has just been the ongoing topic of conversation. It's been Baker Mayfield. It very much feels like when everybody talks about their expectations for the Browns and what they're going to do this year, it's always with the caveat. It's always, listen, the Browns improved on defense. They look good on defense. The Browns are good at wide receiver, good at the offensive line, amazing at running back, amazing at wide receiver. And then it always comes down to that last piece, and it always, everybody that talks about the Browns says, but it's going to depend on Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And so the conversation all around town this week has been, is Baker that guy? I think we've all established that Baker is a winning quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. But the question is, and I think it's a fair question, is Baker the guy that's going to take you to the Super Bowl and win it?
Yes.
Go on, Joe.
I have no doubt. I mean, he has gone through incredible adversity his first three seasons. He was the number one quarterback in the league, I think, after week six, after that Cincinnati game, in multiple areas. And the most promising thing from last season and his numbers that stood out to me the most is, you know, it's easy to say, like, the Browns have such a strong running game. Like, that obviously opened things up for Baker. Baker's numbers went up. I don't know the exact rate, but completion percentage, downfield passes, and touchdowns all went up, while his percentage of play action passes actually went down the rest of that season.
Ooh.
So he's a more poised quarterback, more confident quarterback. I think he's built great chemistry in this team with all of his receiving core. He was just in Montana with Austin
Hooper
and Jarvis Landry, and Odell Beckham Jr. over the weekend, getting some reps in, getting some team bonding in. So, you know, he's putting in, and this team is putting in the work, I think, to take us to that next level. It's tough being a fan favorite going to this year, because I feel like fan favorites always have something that comes up that might hinder the season at some point, but I'm cautiously excited right now.
Oh, Joe, I love Chad. I'm going to get your thoughts on Baker in a second, but I love the stat, man. That was big time. The stat that his passing and his accuracy and his big play threats and all that stuff all improved over the course of last year while his play action passes.
Which is what he used to threaten, was a play action scheme. That was his kind of bread and butter, and that's kind of what we thought would be the primary scheme of that offense last year. But as he was getting better, they were actually decreasing the amount of plays, play action plays they were calling for him.
Love that. Chad, What do you feel?
I think he is, but I think he's still. Jesus? Yes, of course. I think he's Jesus. praise maker. No, I think the intangibles are there. All of the intangibles are there for Baker to lead us to the Super Bowl. But I think it is fair. And the only reason I think the narrative is still there is because of all the adversity he's faced in his first 3 years. You know, the different head coaches, the different offensive systems. I think the only reason that narrative is there is people want to see him keep improving in the same system, you know, with the same coach, with the same offensive players around him. I think that's really the only question that still remains with Baker and why that narrative is out there about him. And he can erase all of that this year. He can erase all of that. And I think he will. Again, Baker is he's confident with a little bit of cocky. I think he's got I think he has. Again, I talked about all the intangibles. I think he's got all of the skills to be able to lead us to a Super Bowl. And I sure hope he proves everybody wrong and erases that narrative this year. So that was the long answer. Short answer, yes, I think he's the quarterback that can lead the Browns to a Super Bowl.
Boys, I'm right there with you. I think part of the reason that the concern still remained for people even through last year is I think it'd be a motivator for Baker. Yeah. Listen, he was really good last year. He wasn't perfect though. And I got to tell you, I think the one thing that's going to stick with Baker that probably stuck with him all offseason, that he's going to be able to redeem in the same place it happened at Arrowhead Stadium this weekend, is that Baker got the ball back in that game, late in the game, with a chance to drive the team down the field and win, and they didn't. They went 3-and-out, and they had to kick the ball back to Kansas City. And then we all know what happened from there, the Henny run and all that stuff. Baker had the ball late in that game with a chance to drive him to win, and they didn't do it. And that's not a slight on Baker. That happens to every quarterback. That happens to everybody. It's not a slight on Baker, but I do think it explains a little bit of he had that chance, that kind of that to steal from March Madness, to the chance for his one shining moment, right? Of I'm in Arrowhead. We got it. We're down by less than a touchdown. We got a chance to drive down and win this game, and it didn't happen. And yeah. So I think people watched that and thought, maybe Baker's not that guy. But I also think Baker probably has watched that 1,000 times, and it probably is sitting with him, and he's going to atone for it this week. Of course, I want the Browns to win this week. Of course, I want to see Baker play well. I'm not going to go off a ledge if that doesn't happen, but I think there's some, they feel like they need to atone for something in this game.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I feel the same. And, you know, I think that's the mark of a great athlete, you know, a great leader, a great quarterback. You know, you saw the Michael Jordan doc. He had the documentary. He found things, just be it as small right. or as big as they can be. He found things to motivate himself.
Yeah.
And that's what Baker constantly does. You know, he's cut down on it a little bit, but he still answers trolls online. You know, I think he takes mental notes of everybody who doubts him.
Yep.
And that motivates him. And yeah. Like you said, Mike, I do feel like they do have to atone for something, but I forgot where I was going with that, but yeah, it's good. He's good. Man, he's going to be good.
I'm drinking these beers from Maria Shriver, Ohio.
Maria Shriver.
Guys, the other news that came out, because I think we're all in agreement on Baker. We don't have any arguments. I think Baker can be that guy. Listen, you watch the dude throw the ball. It's fucking incredible. And he's good at a lot of the things that I was watching, like a breakdown of Ryan Tannehill down there in Tennessee. Tannehill's a good ball player, but he doesn't excel in certain areas, mainly ball placement. Tannehill isn't very good at ball placement. He throws a catchable ball and he makes plays, but he's not great with ball placement. Then they showed Baker. When he's rolling, man, he hits the guys where they can catch it and make plays. His ball placement is good. His accuracy is good. And again, I don't think it can be overstated. We've talked about it with several guests on this podcast. I don't think it can be overstated. It's the first time he's had a full off season in the same scheme and system as he played in last year going into this year. If you don't think that's going to make him a better quarterback, I don't know what to tell you. The other big news, out of camp today, they set a depth chart, and their first round draft pick, Greg Newsome, is the starting cornerback across from Denzel Ward. They actually named him the most outstanding player of the training camp. And Greg Newsome is your full-time starting corner over there. Guys, what an absolute home run of a pick. And he hasn't even played yet. And you can't judge him until that happens. But by all accounts, he has been incredible all through camp. And this goes back to when we had Emmett Golden on the show. He said, for some reason, when you get good and the draft you're drafting later, it almost gets easier. You just pluck this dude named Greg Newsome out of Northwestern. You put him in camp, and now he's starting for a playoff caliber team. That's pretty cool.
It's kind of interesting, too, because, you know, there weren't a ton of major position battles aside from probably this one. Not that I can think of, at least definitely not on offense. But what's interesting about this, like, position battles is not like a slight on Greedy. Like, these are two top tier starting cornerbacks in the league. We're not deciding between who someone's third string quarterback could be and someone's practice squad quarterback could be in this position. We have two legitimate starters, and like, we have to sit one, but like, you know, Greedy's going to get his time and he's going to get his plays and he'll be in plenty of games this year. But it's nice to see a position battle of two guys that deserve to start on almost every NFL team.
Yeah, there's never anything wrong with competition. And Greg Newsome won the battle in camp. You know, I know Greedy was dealing with like a lingering injury or something, so I don't know how much that had to do with it. But yeah, I mean, if that rookie excelled that much in camp, in a camp where there is, what, 7, 8, 9, 10 very startable defensive backs, because Andrew Berry did an incredible job of building depth on this team. Yeah, if he won that battle, more power to him. And I hope he excels. I hope he's one of the best shutdown corners in the NFL this year.
Guys, then you look at their depth chart, right? So you got Denzel and you got Greg Newsome starting. But when you think about last year, when Greedy couldn't go and they had injuries, it was pretty devastating when you had the backups in last year at corner, when you had Sendejo playing safety. It was pretty devastating. Look at the cornerback depth on this team. So you've got Denzel and Greg Newsome that are going to start on the outside. Behind them, you've got Troy Hill and Greedy Williams, who, you know, to say that they're backups is unfair because they're going to play in plenty of formations where all of them are in the game. And you got AJ Green sitting over there too. That's been he has worked his way onto this team over the course of like 3 years now. So like, the depth that they have built up at the cornerback position, God forbid. The fact is, it's rare for somebody to go through a 17 game season all the way healthy and not have to miss a game here or there. It just happens to pretty much everybody. One of these guys has to be out a game here or there, and you can just sub in Greedy Williams or sub in Troy Hill, like
that's incredible. Like, you could have Troy Hill and Greedy Williams starting on many NFL teams as your two quarterbacks, and like, you would be very confident in that secondary.
Well, yeah, and that's just the way things are going now in the NFL. It's all about speed. It's all about getting east and west. It's not even a ton about north and south anymore. I mean, it's speed, speed, speed. And you just the days of the 6'4", 255-pound linebacking run stuffer are going by the wayside, just because it's getting the NFL football in general is getting smaller and more athletic nowadays. And so, you know, to remedy that on defense, you're going to need a lot of defensive backs who can cover and come up and play the run. So, I'm not surprised that, there's 8, 9, 10 very startable, defensive backs that you're really deep in the defensive backfield.
One more shout out on this defense before we get into the actual preview of the Chiefs game. One more shout out on this defense. There's a guy that's going to be starting for the Cleveland Browns on defense this week that pretty much everybody had cut going into camp this year. There's a guy who is going to be starting for the Cleveland Browns defense, who worked so hard, worked his ass off, came into camp in great shape, and just straight up won a job over guys that people were excited about. And this is a guy that people thought was probably not making the team when camp started. Mack Wilson had an absolutely spectacular camp, and he proved to the coaches that this is a guy, not only do we want him on the field, but he's going to start for us week one against the Chiefs.
It's tough too, because, like, I mean, it's not like they haven't had everything they need to see about Mack Wilson coming into the season. He's been with the club for what, 3 years now? 2 years now?
Yeah, a couple of years.
That takes a lot of grit to earn that starting spot after, you know, being really just not good the past couple of years for the team.
I mean, good for him, but I'm still not going to believe it until I see it. Like, that stigma of him being like the one of the worst linebackers to play a linebacker in the NFL right now is going to stick with him until he proves it wrong in games, in regular season games. So I'm very happy for him that he had a great camp and that he's going to be starting, but he still needs to prove it in the games. You know, great that he had a great camp. Andres Jimenez had a great spring training, and look where he is. He's at AAA. You know, he was spending the year at AAA. So it's just great. Good on Mac. I'm very encouraged by that. I'm glad he had a great camp, but, you know, until he proves it in games, I'm not going to hold my breath that he's going to be a really good linebacker.
Well, and I didn't want to get too ahead. I wasn't sitting here saying, oh my God, he's going to be a Pro Bowler this year.
This is a guy that
everybody had pretty much written off. He's not going to make the team. They drafted Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. They drafted Tony Fields. They brought in other guys. This is a guy that isn't going to make the team. Not only does he make the team, but he impresses everybody so much that they trust him to go out there and be a starting linebacker. And again, in football, starting positions only matter at so many positions, because you better believe JOK is going to be finding the field early and often in the game against Kansas City. You better believe that guys like Malcolm Smith are going to be finding the field early and often in the game against Kansas City. But the fact is, Mack Wilson's going to be out there playing a lot too, and he earned that. And again, for a guy that was written off, that's pretty cool. Now we'll see what he can do on the field. So here's when we will see what he can do on the field. Friday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. This season kicks off, and it kicks off against the Super Bowl favorite, or at least one of the Super Bowl favorites, the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's talk about this matchup a little bit. You've got the most intimidating player in all of football in Patrick Mahomes at quarterback for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. You've got one of the best wide receivers, specifically in making big plays, in Tyreek Hill. You've got the best tight end in football in Travis Kelce. This offense, and you have an improved offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs, although they will be starting three rookies on the line for opening day. Guys, it's the challenge for this defense. I kind of love it. And the reason I love it is, if you're new on this defense, if you're one of the like brand new players, John Johnson, Troy Hill, if you're Greg Newsome, the season starts at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You don't get to start your season in Jacksonville. You don't get to start your season with Philadelphia. Your season starts at 100 miles an hour with the best offense in the league. Boys, just talk about, there's some changes for the Chiefs. Sammy Watkins no longer there. It looks like Mecole Hardman will get more of more playing time in the offense, another speedy guy. I don't know. And your impressions of the Chiefs coming in, especially after what happened to them in the Super Bowl last year?
I mean, I think that out of these two teams, it's going to be a very like full circle moment this year. One team is going to start another season with this game. Hopefully not the Browns. I don't know. I mean, it is not as clear cut and dry of a Kansas City team as there's been in the past, which is tough to say because Patrick Mahomes can make anything happen. But, you know, like I said, the offensive line is new. You know, they got rid of, blanking on his name. Bad time for that.
Eric Mitchell Fisher. Schwartz?
No, oh, Eric okay. Fisher. They got rid of Eric Fisher. He's in Indianapolis, I think, now. So, you know, they have a new look to them. They lost Sammy Watkins on the receiving corps. So, you know, they might, like our defense does, their offense might have some, you know, figuring out to do to start this season off. I think the key for the Browns in this game, though, is answering. The Chiefs are going to put up points. You know, it would be unrealistic to expect our defense to shut them off and shut them down right off the bat.
Right.
I think the most important thing for us to do in this game is to answer anytime they score. And then if we can get some in some other way, if we can force some turnovers while we're on defense or have good special team plays, great. But it is almost absolute that we need to answer every time that the Chiefs score, or else we'll be in a pretty big hole.
Yeah, I agree with Joey. I mean, I don't think you can waste possessions against the Chiefs offense. That is just absolutely dynamic all over the field. But that is the biggest matchup that I'm looking for in this game, is the Chiefs are breaking in a new offensive line and the Browns are breaking in a new defense. And we'll see. Not having a preseason with all the starters on the field is just, that's going to be the biggest matchup to me, to see how they fare. Even with that new offensive line, though, you know, like you mentioned, you still have Mahomes, you still have Tyreek Hill, you know, you still have Mecole Hardman, you still have speed all over the field, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I think to have a chance in this game, you do have, like, I agree with Joey, you do have to not waste possessions. You have to get some sort of points on the board. And if not, you have to play the field position game and just and hope you get a stop. I think that's the biggest key to this game.
Yeah, boys, I think, you know, defensively against that offense, I think what's going to be fun is you've got this revamped defensive line.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of players that can wreak havoc in the in the offensive backfield with this defensive line. You're going to see Andrew Billings. You're going to see Malik McDowell. You're going to see, obviously, you're going to see Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. And I think those guys have a chance to control this game. Like, I it certainly is unrealistic to say, hey, the Browns should shut out the Chiefs. That's not how they're going to win this game.
No,
the Chiefs are going
to
get their points because they're that good. But those guys up front have a chance to make Patrick Mahomes super uncomfortable. And they have a chance to make him make mistakes. And he doesn't make a lot of them. But, man, when you can get defensive pressure on him, as you saw in the Super Bowl, the Buccaneers got so much pressure on Patrick Mahomes that it made his life miserable. Mm-hmm. The Browns have that capability on defense. They have that capability to do that. They have that capability to be so formidable with their front four that you can send a blitz but just make it one guy. Just right. One guy, one linebacker, one Mack Wilson just blitzing in. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah just blitzing in off the edge. And you still are able to drop six players back into coverage. That can make life really difficult for Patrick Mahomes. So I think the game itself hinges entirely on, does that Browns defensive line do what that Browns defensive line looks like it can do? I'm not a big Clyde Edwards-Helaire fan.
No.
I think he's okay. I think he's an okay running back. He lit the world on fire week one last year, and then he didn't do a lot of anything the rest of the year. So can the Browns shut down the running game, make the Chiefs one-dimensional passing, which, by the way, when you play the Chiefs, doesn't always work because one-dimensional Chiefs passing game is still amazing.
Yeah.
But then can they make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable? And if you can, man, you got a chance to do something. You don't have a chance to shut them out, but you have a chance to hold them to an amount of points that probably a lot of people think you won't do.
You know what's exciting about this game? And I know we want to go with the mindset of going 1-0 every week. But like I said earlier, it's not like we're playing Jacksonville on the first week. Like, we are starting at 100 miles an hour right off the bat. one of the biggest issues the Browns had last year when playing Baltimore was finding a way to contain Lamar Jackson. And they would send blitz packages at him, but he would just go around it. And they didn't have any competition similar to Lamar Jackson before those games. I kind of like that you're starting with the most elite team, I think, in the NFL right off the bat, and you get some real good competition. It's going to be probably one of the hardest games they'll play all year. But it's great for this defense that's not experienced with each other to learn how to contain somebody like Patrick Mahomes, or learn from not being able to contain Patrick Mahomes. I think that's a great experience for this defense to have right off the bat. And I think that could help form them into a really dominant defense later in this year.
On the other side of the ball. Well, go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was going to say, and that's the thing with this year. Yes, you know, I mentioned before that they are breaking in the Browns are breaking in a new defense. But this defense on paper is really good. Is really, really good. Last year for Mahomes, going into that game, I think it would be fair to say that not a lot of people had a lot of confidence in our defense could stop Mahomes. But this defense this year is much improved, and it is not going to be a walk in the park for Mahomes. On Sunday, it is actually not. It's not going to be as easy as last year. And
Chad, think back to the Travis Kelce touchdown where he caught the ball and there wasn't anybody within 72 yards of him, and he just kind of lumped. That isn't going to happen this year.
No,
John Johnson and Ronnie Harrison are not going to let that happen. Grant Delpit, and they are not letting that happen. Tyreek Hill, man, Tyreek Hill's going to get open. Like, that's a thing that's got to, here's the thing. Like, if I'm coaching the Browns and Patrick Mahomes hits Tyreek Hill for a 70 yard bomb down the field for a touchdown, I kind of throw my hands up in the air and I'm like, you know what? That happens with those guys. It happens. He got behind
us. His speed alone gets him.
But also, like, Tyreek's getting these passes on, like, his, you know, he's an incredible athlete, but a lot of these he's getting on his second or third move or audible to the route after Patrick Mahomes is buying time. I think with this new defensive line we have, new defense we have, if there is a way to get to Patrick Mahomes before Tyreek gets that chance to alter his routes for the second, third, fourth time, you're going to eliminate that completely.
And here's the thing. Tyreek Hill is all about crossing routes and deep routes. So the other thing is, again, yeah, he's going to get you deep every once in a while. It happens. That happens almost every game with the Chiefs. It is what it is. What you got to eliminate are, you can't let Tyreek Hill catch the ball 8 yards down the field and take it for 42 yards. You can't let Tyreek Hill catch the ball on a cross with nobody around him like he did in that game and take the ball 38 yards. That's the stuff you got to watch. So it's kind of that, like, it's like, you know what? If we give up that big blow up play, it happens. Let's just try to avoid it. But it's those other things that we've got to try to stop. And I do think, I'm not a big Sammy Watkins fan, but I also think they lose a pretty reliable possession type receiver. And Mecole Hardman's not exactly that.
Nope.
Mecole Hardman's a speed dude. And so, I think it's a little bit of a different look offensively. And I think the Browns and the defense, I think they got a chance to do something, again, not shutout wise, but to control the game in a way that I think a lot of people don't think they can. Let's move. Oh, go ahead. One last thing.
I was going to last thing. The Chiefs receivers are not going to have the space that they had last year when these two teams played in a playoff.
They better not.
They're not going to.
Go to the other side of the ball real quick. You've got the Browns offense, which we've talked about. We've talked about Baker. Obviously, you're going to have Chubb and Hunt. There's so many things that happen with this offense that I think about before I let myself think about Chubb and Hunt. Like, right, I'm like, oh, cool, Odell's coming back. Let's see how that happens. And Donovan Peoples-Jones has just been lighting it up all camp. He really looks like he's grown into a great player. Sweet. I'm thinking about David Njoku. I'm wondering if he can't break out. I'm thinking of all this stuff, and then all of a sudden I look at the team and I'm like, oh, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are in the backfield with Baker Mayfield. Like, it's the most formidable running tandem in all of football, probably the most formidable running tandem in all of football in years. And guys, this defense for the Chiefs, they played us. They played the Browns well in that game in the playoffs. They stacked the box. They said, we're not going to let Nick Chubb beat us. And the Browns offensively sputtered.
Yeah.
I think that with, again, getting Odell Beckham back, that means the Chiefs can't play stack the box as much as they did. You've got Jarvis. You've got, if Donovan Peoples-Jones really emerges into what people think he is, now the Chiefs can't stack the box the way they did. So all of a sudden, I think the Browns are going to have much more success in this game than they did in the playoffs last year, mm-hmm. because I think they have so many more options to go to.
Yeah, I think so too. And I would say, and don't forget, there's reports out there that Tyrann Mathieu's availability is in question. So, I mean, that would be a big loss for the Chiefs defense as well.
Yeah. There are no doubt a lot of mouths to feed on this offense. It'll be probably the most interesting story out of the season for this offense will be who gets the ball. Are they going to run like a game where they're really heavy on Jarvis or Odell, or certain games where they're running really heavy on the run? It'll be interesting to see how that ball is spread out, because you have elite playmakers at every single position. So it's not, you're not relying on some third tier wide receiver two that's going to be catching a ball every, drive. I don't know.
Right. Well, and you guys have to remember down the stretch last year, the Browns were dealing with COVID. They were dealing with injuries. They were dealing with all kinds of, remember the Jets game. They didn't even have wide receivers. They went into that game without wide receivers. Zero wide receivers from their regular roster played in that Jets game. And what happened? They lost because they had zero wide receivers that play on their normal team.
And the people that were there were learning the playbook in the parking right before the game.
Right, right. Yeah, they were running plays in the parking garage. So, again, I just think you're going to have this continuity, and I think all of the players are on the same page, and that's my favorite part about it. Whether it's Odell Beckham, and everybody talks about Odell Beckham constantly, even though he has shown none of this since he's been here, like he's some kind of diva. He has shown none of that since he's been here. And he said countless amounts of time, whether I'm a guy that catches 100 passes for 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns, or whether I'm the guy that blows the lid off a defense so that Jarvis can catch passes underneath, or Hooper can catch passes, or Kareem Hunt can catch passes. Odell has said it countless times. I don't care. I want to win. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Are you going to see him out there? Like, if he's open and Baker misses him, are you going to see him flail his hands a little bit and like go up to Baker and be like, yes, because that's what you want to see out of a wide receiver. But that's what you want to see.
But that's any receiver.
Right. That's what you want. That's what you want out of your receiver. But these guys, I think, Joe, you said there's a lot of mouths to feed. I think they're all so selfless that it doesn't matter. I think in a game, I think we could have a game where Jarvis and Odell get bottled up, but Hooper goes crazy. And Donovan Peoples-Jones has 8 catches. And you're not going to hear a peep out of Landry and Odell. And I think there's that cohesion with this team. It is a little bit unique. I think the reason so many people assume that you're going to run into these problems is because so many teams do run into those problems when you have that many mouths to feed. I think the cohesion on this team, I think it's unique. And I think that makes a difference. I think that makes Baker Mayfield's life easier. I think we're finally going to find him at a place where he doesn't feel like he has to get the ball to a certain person. He doesn't have to get Odell Beckham 8 catches a game. He doesn't have to force that. He's just going to play the game, and he's going to take what it gives him. And if Baker Mayfield does that, every question about Baker Mayfield gets answered within the first 3 weeks of the season. Baker Mayfield goes from, can he be that guy, to holy shit, Baker is that guy.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said last week, though, there's part of me that really wants people to just keep doubting him just because he just plays so much better. he just plays so much better with that chip on his shoulder.
I agree with that. But at the same time, Chad, I'm a little tired of it. Eventually, if you're going to be elite, if you're going to be an elite team, if you're going to be one of the best teams, you're going to have to play well when people aren't doubting you.
That's okay.
So the chip's got to go.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I agree with that because you might be tired of it, but he's not. Like I told you, like I said earlier, the great players find stuff to get motivated. Like when they feel like they've accomplished all they can, the great players find stuff to motivate themselves. Even if they, no matter what type of year they had, the great players find motivational pieces to keep that motivation.
That's fair. All right, boys. So let's wrap up our Browns talk with our official first Browns prediction of the year. Browns, Chiefs, 425 this Sunday. Let's start with Chad. Chad, what's your prediction for this game?
Oh, man. It's a tough one to predict. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. Your Browns are breaking in a new defense. Kansas City's breaking in a new offensive line. I think with this new front seven on this Browns defense, I think they get pressure on Mahomes, and it's going to be close. I think the Browns win this game 31-28.
Woo! All right, 31-28. Browns start 1-0 for the first time since 1946. Joey,
that's right.
What is your prediction for this game?
Same kind of boat as Chad. I think this game's an absolute shootout. I think the key is that the Browns are answering every time that the Chiefs score and then some. I'm looking at a 35-28 Browns victory.
Ooh, Browns, let's go. All right, so that brings it to me. And I'm real on the fence.
Yeah,
I'm real on
so
the fence.
So was I.
I'm real on the fence. I think it's a classic. I think it's a classic week one game that we're going to be talking about all season. I don't think it's going to be sloppy.
It feels like that Baltimore Cleveland game from last year.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be sloppy. I don't think it's going to be a shitty game. I don't think these teams are like going to be finding their way. I think these two teams are ready to hit each other. I think these two teams are ready to play each other. And so I agree with you guys. Defense be damned. I think you guys are, you're in for a long day if you're playing defense in this game because you have two elite offenses. And so I'm going to say final score 38-35. And I'm going to give it to the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to say 38-35 Browns. I think they're going to kick this season off right, and I think it's going to be a wild ride from there. So, that's our Browns prediction. If you want to give us your Browns predictions, get over to our social media. Let us know what you think is going to happen. And we've got some fun things coming up, so we'll talk about it. But check out our socials. We'll post it. But we're going to jump on with our friend Cameron Justice, and she is going to play the Browns schedule game with us. We're going to release that before the season starts, so get ready for that. And then, as we did last year, one of us, two of us, three of us, somebody, we will get on and we'll do a live post game Browns wrap up show after the game, talk about what happened and just discuss that with you. And you guys can be a part of that as well. So stay tuned to our social media. So with that being said, we're going to end this show with a couple last things. And well, the first thing, it's going to be pretty fun. Again, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, Joey got engaged this last weekend, which, by the way, Joe, because you've had such a big weekend, we want to have a little bit of fun with you. So if you would go to the Zoom participants box, my friend, there's a special guest that's waiting to jump in with us. Could you go ahead and let that special guest in, please?
Uh-oh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got with us a very special guest. We just got done talking about Joey's big weekend. He got engaged to the love of his life. And we got a special guest because the love of his life is on with us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the future Mrs. Joey Whalen, Maddie Hayride. Maddie, welcome to the Garage Beers Podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be
here.
Let's go.
This is so exciting. So, Maddie, how are you feeling?
I'm doing great. Feeling good.
Yeah.
I, I even made things festive for the big celebration, Maddie. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I love it.
You hung those lights up almost a year and a half ago in preparation for this day.
And you know what? And I haven't turned them on until right now.
Correct. And now the festivities are on, and it is just, we're going to have a good time. So, Joe, we've plotted a little plan with Maddie here.
Ooh.
So with you obviously being engaged.
Yes.
We want to know how well Maddie knows you. We want to know how well you know yourself, really, Joe. And so we set up what's going to be called, we're going to call this the pre-newlyweds game.
Okay.
And what's fun is we've set this up for you, but we're going to need you to go back on the back end of this and like play the newlyweds game music because that's going to be good.
Yeah.
But we can talk.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have sent Maddie a list of questions. And it's a list of questions about you, Joe. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read those questions. And then, Joe, you're going to answer what you think Maddie's going to say. And then we're going to see how well, or you're going to answer the question, I guess. We're going to see how well Maddie knows you.
Ooh.
So we've got a good amount of questions.
All right.
And we feel like this is a good way to kick this episode off. Because, again, if you're just tuning in or just listening, Joey and Maddie getting married. They got engaged this weekend. It was awesome. So, Maddie, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. Awesome. All right, Joe.
150 questions, Joe. So buckle up.
There's actually
like the ACTs. Let's go.
I think there's 16 questions. I sent Maddie 21 awesome. Questions, and there were five that she was like, yeah, don't ask that one.
Yeah. Fair.
Okay. So, Joe, question number one. We asked Maddie. So what do you think Maddie said, or what should she have said? We asked Maddie, what is Joey most afraid of?
And this is about me.
It's about you.
About me. Wow.
What are you, Joe? What are you most afraid of?
I want to go with snakes.
Snakes. Joe says snakes. Maddie, what did you say? What is Joey most afraid of?
I said pickles.
Pickles.
That's a close second.
You would put pickles second?
I would, because they're not going to kill
Hold
me.
Hold a snake, like, eat a pickle?
Oh, I don't know. Can I choose neither?
I want to come up with a brand that the slogan is hold a snake, eat a pickle.
I will say, like, the pickle is a close second, though.
Fair.
I got to know why. I got to know the backstory.
Which part?
Backstory on this. The pickle. I understand the snakes. What's the pickle?
I don't know, man. I don't think I like vinegar. We had this conversation this weekend too. I don't know if I'd like just dislike vinegar type things or what. And I've tried them in every way in the sun. I've tried them fried. I've tried them on sandwiches or burgers. I've tried them just plain. I tried like relish, like none of it. It's all horrible.
Chad, Joe was here like maybe one of the last times he was home. And I was doing that thing where you like dump a ranch packet into pickle juice and let the pickles marinate. And then I was eating them, sure, and they're freaking delicious. So Joe's not paying attention. And he walks past me in the kitchen and I'm like eating this pickle. And he like actually, it wasn't like fake. It wasn't like a fake thing. He actually was like, and like had to walk past.
It triggers just like a gag reflex. And it's no good.
Wait, so like you don't like pickles. You're not scared of them. Like if someone came at you with a pickle, you're not like,
I mean, if it's like being like force fed to me, I'd be terrified of. Like that would be a very scarring experience.
All right, so now you know if you ever capture Joe for any reason and you want to torture him, force feed him pickles. That's the way to do it.
That would do it.
So Joe and Maddie, off to a start where I give Maddie credit for that because I think it should have been pickles, but Joe went with snakes, but that's fine. So here's the next question. Joey, we asked Maddie what your favorite restaurant is. What is your favorite restaurant?
Oh.
Cookout?
I mean, there's many options here.
You're going to have to pick one.
Pick one?
Correct.
I also put like many options.
Yeah. I don't know. Like the first thing that kind of mind just make me sound kind of trashy. I would say Red Robin.
Yep.
Did you really put Red Robin, Maddie?
I really did.
What?
I said Red Robin and pretty much any Mexican.
Probably fair. Up until the pandemic, I kind of like made Maddie go there like once a month.
The Red Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Maddie, even you got to say that like dusting that they give you for the French fries seasoning.
Yeah, the fries are good. Fries are good.
Campfire sauce? Anyone? Campfire sauce?
I just do a plain cheeseburger, like a bacon cheeseburger. Definitely no pickles or else I would leave. And then fries.
Oh, right, dude, the next time you dip your fries in the campfire sauce, ask for a side. It is
boom,
unreal. Great.
The next question.
By the way, it's not trashy to like Red Robin, Joe. Come on. Are you kidding me? Red Robin.
Well, I thought we were going like fancy restaurant. I don't know.
Nope.
Red Robin, if you're listening.
Contact Mike, Joe, or myself.
All right. So this should be a short answer, Joe. We asked Maddie, how would you describe Joey first thing in the morning?
Oh. Loud.
Loud. Oh, I like that answer. Loud. Joey says loud. Maddie, how would you describe Joey first thing in the morning?
Wow. I said thoughtful and quiet. So that's the opposite.
Wow.
Our roles have reversed recently though. So now I get up earlier. So to me, he's quiet in the morning, but
he's just laying there sleeping.
Well, and I said thoughtful because he usually makes me coffee and takes Finley out, which is really nice while I'm getting ready. So was the first thing that came to mind was thoughtful and calm.
Uh-huh. It's usually followed by like unloading the dishwasher, like starting laundry or something.
I think previously when I used to try to sleep in, then he would be loud, but that doesn't happen as much anymore. So
now that you have to get up early, he's thoughtful and quiet.
Yeah.
Out of the way.
All right. Next question. We've got one right so far. We asked Maddie, how would Joey describe the perfect weekend? Joe?
Ooh. Is this like a perfect weekend with Maddie or just like...
The perfect weekend.
Okay.
Am I not included in all perfect weekends?
It probably should include her.
Maddie, earmuffs, Maddie. include Maddie, Joey. Include Maddie.
It would probably involve like something nature-y. Like we like kayaking a lot. And then something with Finley. So like a dog park and then grilling out.
Ooh, what'd you say, Maddie?
I said my first answer would be driving up to Cleveland to be with family. I feel like that would definitely be his first choice of all weekends. But then otherwise, I said a typical Nashville weekend, I said would be going to the dog park, kayaking, and then ending the day at a brewery or baseball game.
Boom.
Man.
You know, we're giving you credit for that.
Acceptable. That's two points.
We're giving you credit for that, especially because you threw in like the come to Cleveland as like the perfect weekend, because that is the perfect.
Right.
It's the
perfect. It's the perfect,
perfect, perfect for anybody, out of really. Town weekend, but Nashville weekend. I agree.
Yeah.
All right. I'm so looking forward to this next question. Congrats on the last one. I'm so looking forward to this.
I think you might.
We asked Maddie, what article of clothing does Joey wear that you want to throw in the trash?
Oh, I have like three pairs of basketball shorts from like middle school, like legitimately middle school. Like I got them when I was at Avon Middle School in seventh grade and I wear them. They are two of them are in like a Goodwill bag right now to take to Goodwill. One of them hasn't made it there quite yet.
Are those your basketball shorts that come down to like halfway down your...
Like yes, shins. Like below the knee, which is
The ones that I always hoped I would grow into and never did.
Maddie, was he right?
Yes.
Yes!
I was bad at answering only one thing for a lot of these questions, though, so I kind of had two-part answers for most of them, which he knows more? The other one would be Skechers.
Oh, yeah, the Skechers. Yeah.
I associate Skechers as like an elementary school brand, so... Even though they make nice adult shoes now, I just can't get over the brand. But I think we've eliminated all the Skechers from his wardrobe at this point. So I think we're in the clear. So yes, I would definitely think the basketball shorts are the more current option.
We might need to re-ask this question after I start wearing Crocs to the grocery store.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Listen,
I'm a little more lenient on the Crocs.
Can we please get a picture of you in those shorts and put it on the Garage Beer social media?
Yes, and then have the thumbs up, thumbs down on Instagram poll. Can Joey keep these? Wow.
They legit, every time I see him in them, I'm like, my dude, like they're almost pants. They're
want nearly to see the bell bottoms, you know?
All season shorts. I mean, what do you want?
All season.
And one of the pairs are reversible too, so.
I just know, I feel like better. if you're outside in those and there's a heavy gust of wind, you are gone. Like,
yes, correct. They've
taken you. All right. So another correct answer. We're getting to be on a roll. Okay. We asked Maddie, what is something that Joey does for you that he hates, but he does it just for you? So Joey, what do you do for Maddie that you hate, but you do it for her anyways?
That I hate?
It can be dislike.
That's tough.
There's so much. No, I'm just kidding.
I hate all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do I dislike? It's not really anything I dislike doing.
All right, we need an answer.
I don't know. Like starting to cook dinner like 20 minutes before the podcast starts. the only one I can think of.
We hate that.
The bacon incident of 2020.
It's actually a weekly incident. I just got really good at hiding it.
I love it. All right, Maddie, what did you say?
I said walking Finley because he definitely pulls the heavy weight on taking care of Finley. So
I don't know. Do you hate walking Finley?
He walks Finley like 90% of the time and I take like 10%. So I think he'd like that to be a little more equal, which we'll get there.
That's a fair one.
But I did say maybe cooking, but I didn't think that he hated that. So
no, I like cooking.
Right. Yeah. Like he likes cooking. So depending on the day.
All right. So the hot streak cools off a little bit. Let's move on. If Joey could be any famous person alive or dead, who would he choose to be? That's what we asked Maddie.
I think I got this one.
Joey, if you could be any famous person alive or dead, who would you choose to be?
And you
Maddie's confident.
She thinks she's got it and she's confident with it.
I don't think Dylan Windler would think that I would know this, though. I will say that.
If I could be this person?
Dylan Windler. Left-hand three-point shot.
He probably could fit into those shorts.
I mean, I could only think of like an idol, like a sports idol.
Well, go ahead and say it out loud.
How would it be Jim Tomey?
All right, Maddie, what'd you come up with?
That's what I put. But I thought it was Tomey. I put Jim Tomey.
Let's go.
Jim Tomey.
I didn't know how to pronounce
Thome.
It.
Jim Thome. Good one, Maddie. All right. See, that was good. If you know Joey, Jim Tomey is his like idol. So, yeah, exactly. That was a good one. All right. Next up on the list, we asked Maddie, what is Joey's favorite meal? Joey, what's your favorite meal?
I can think of an item that's definitely my meal. It's potatoes in any way, shape, or form.
Pickled potatoes.
Except pickled. Ooh, yeah. Do you pickle potatoes? I don't think you do. Except potatoes with malt vinegar on it, but probably just like a classic, like, steak and potatoes kind of vibe.
Steak and potatoes is the answer. Maddie, what'd you put?
I said steak and potatoes.
Steak and potatoes.
Right. A classic. Who doesn't love that?
I mean, there's so many ways you can do it.
I believe you guys. I believe you actually ate steak and potatoes at dinner the night you got engaged.
I did. That's true. Yes. Steak and frites. Or frites. Is it one frite or two frites?
Just steak
frites. Multiple frites.
Steak and frites.
What were you gonna say, Chad?
No, it's not steak and frites. It's just steak frites. That's what I'm getting. Yeah.
Who cares? It's steak and fries.
We call them freedom fries.
Yeah, freedom fries. America.
All right, Joe, let's see if you can get this one. We asked Maddie, what is your favorite physical feature of Joey?
Of me?
Yes, you, the Joey on the screen, the one she's engaged to.
No, Finley. Like, what the?
All right, Joe. What is your fiance's favorite physical feature of you?
My eyes.
He said his smile and his eyes.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Five and a half points. You got 5.5 points.
I feel like I conceded to answer that question.
Yeah, it was kind of douchey, Joe. It was kind of douchey if you'd answer that question. All right. Maddie, we asked Maddie, what is Joey's favorite junk food? Oh. Joey, what's your favorite junk food?
Man. If we're going to get like really specific with it, it's Mitchell's caramel fudge brownie ice cream.
Ooh, God, that sounds good. All right, Mitchell's caramel fudge brownie ice cream. You got real specific, Maddie. Did you get so specific?
What were you going to say, Chad?
I was going to say, what's the non-specific answer? Is there like a generic like junk food?
Mitchell's.
Because Maddie had more than Mitchell's. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's ice cream.
I also put three options, so I'm really bad at this game.
Yeah, what is happening?
It didn't occur. I mean, that makes sense that you'd have to pick one, but I put Mitchell's, chicken nuggets, and Grippo's.
Yeah.
All smashed into a milkshake.
No.
And then you
absolutely
eat them.
Absolutely not.
Some Mitchell's, some Dino Nuggies, and some Grippo's spicy barbecue potato chips. You ever had Grippo's, Chad?
I've not.
Oh.
What, is that a national thing or is that up here?
No, it's a Cincinnati thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
We make a special stop to get them.
Okay.
The same gas station every time.
Same gas station right by Kings Island in Mason, Ohio.
Man, there's just a lot of things I got to get with now. I mean,
I'll bring you up some and then we can meet.
I mean, I haven't seen Remember the Titans. I haven't had Grippo's. Like, I'm just learning all new sorts of things tonight, guys.
You might have a big week up there.
Yeah. It's going to be a big week for you. You also haven't
maybe
seen
Home,
Joe.
Maybe Home Depot. I don't know.
You haven't seen Joe in his basketball shorts that come down to his shins.
Oh, God.
We got to work on that. We got to work on
so
that.
So much activity.
We've been slowly upgrading. Don't worry.
Joseph, we asked Maddie, where would Joey go on his dream vacation?
Ooh. It would have to be Ireland.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, Maddie. That was easy.
I also think he would thrive at Oktoberfest. So that would be another one. But I did say specifically Ireland to go to the Guinness factory.
Yeah.
I specifically love how you said you think he would thrive at Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Oh, I would thrive. Yeah, for sure. I would thrive there.
I think he would thrive for a hot minute. And then I think maybe there would be less thriving as the Oktoberfest continued.
Yeah. Fair. I would need to spend like a year not drinking beer beforehand.
Right. So I think that's fair for anyone.
Oktoberfest, not for gluten intolerant people. Mm-mm. No. All right. We asked Maddie, if Joey was an animal, what animal would he be?
Dog.
An obvious one, right?
It's so obvious and it's so lame.
I mean, but like, name a better one.
What animal would you be?
Yes.
Oh. What would you be? Top of my head. Easy for you. Easy. Turtle. Definitely. Certainly a turtle.
Why?
I don't know about that.
You like eat watermelon in like three bites? Like
that was so quick. That was so quick. Why would you say turtle?
I'm just looking at him.
All right.
If you're gonna go with obvious answers, you could choose whale.
I could choose whale.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Waylon?
Why is that?
It's like the last name. It's in the name. You know, Waylon. Whale.
Thanks. I was like, that's a tough one. That's a tough one there, Maddie.
Right? No, dog is the right answer.
Dog's right.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we give you credit for it. We asked Maddie, if Joey won the lottery, what's the first thing he would buy? Joseph?
Buy or like pay off? Because probably just pay off student loans. That'd probably be numero uno.
What's the first thing you would buy?
Well, did you say pay off?
I said buy the rest of his college tuition.
Buy the rest of my college tuition.
And then I had another one.
I mean, the first thing I would buy would obviously be a massive house.
Yep.
Massive house with pool.
A house. So you guys both nailed the house and the tuition?
Yep.
You're getting a bonus point for that.
You guys know each other so well. You guys should get married.
You guys should totally like spend some life like together.
Tie the knot.
Okay.
Let's do it.
That's fine. Twist my arm.
All right, Joe, this is just a pop quiz for you. We asked Maddie, where was your first date? Joey, where was your first date?
Our first official date was at my fraternity's formal. at the Hutton Hotel in Nashville.
Is that right?
Yes.
Did you nail it?
Founders Formal.
Bam.
But ooh, I also had a second answer that I think he also was going to say.
The second answer would be like, we met like right before the end of the semester, and then she went to France for like a month or so and came back. And then like our first like
solo date
when we were dating was we drove to Atlanta and went to IKEA. We did a day trip to Atlanta and went to IKEA out there.
Yep. And he drove us there and back and then built my dresser all on the same day. It's very sweet.
Bam.
What?
You guys are on a roll.
And Atlanta is not close. That was our closest IQ. It was like 5.5 hours. Yeah, like 5 hours.
Really early for that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm questioning, Maddie, I'm questioning your judgment of just jumping in the car with this guy.
Well, we knew each other for a while before that. We just weren't officially dating at that point.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure it was the very next day that he officially asked. So.
Oh. Yeah. IKEA set the romance.
Yeah. Adore. Bringing people together.
I got two more questions. We asked Maddie, what's the first thing that you thought when you first met Joey? What's the first thing that came into your head when you first met Joey?
Me?
Yes. So what was the thing that came into Maddie's head when she first met you?
This dude is hammered.
I have a story time for this one.
Okay. I like story time.
All right, so Maddie, what was your answer?
My answer was that he was funny and sweet. which was adjacent to hammered.
Same night.
Story time.
Same night. We were at our friend Brucci's house, and he was having like a small house party. It was like a one bedroom, one bath place, not big. I was DDing for my friend group, and Joey had been there with his fraternity brothers during the day for a while. So he was, you know, ahead of others. And he came up to me. I don't think I like knew his, like I knew his name at the time, but we had like barely ever met. He was like friend of a friend. And he came up to me with a glass of water. I was like, you should really like hydrate throughout the night. Like you should make sure to drink water. No. And I was like, I don't think I even told him that I was DDing, but like I literally had not had a sip of alcohol. So, but it was so funny. And I feel like it was very sweet. Like, in theory, you know, and obviously you can tell that we're like the mom and dad of the group because we're always trying to make sure people are, you know, having a good time and
you should
responsible.
You look like you've been drinking a little bit.
He didn't say that. That probably wouldn't have gone over so well. He didn't say that.
A pretty glass of water for a pretty girl.
What's your name? Probably a little more close to what it was.
What's your name?
I think you knew my name at that point.
My name is Nashville.
I don't really know it right now, but you'll find out later. You'll find out another day.
You're so funny. Here, drink this water.
I'm pretty sure that night also ended in me driving him and Sam back home and then him messaging me on Facebook to slide into the DMs the old-fashioned way.
Okay.
So it worked out. What?
So probably at the party is like, I don't know my name. You can find me on Facebook.
Hey, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about sliding into some DMs, you got to be good about it. So don't just go out and slide into DMs.
Also, this is like when Facebook Messenger was like the primary like messaging space. So that's how long ago that was.
Joey's still the only one that uses it.
Right. Yeah. Like,
I don't think anyone uses it.
I remember AIM, like AOL.
That was the greatest.
It was back when there wasn't a separate messenger app and everything was just in the Facebook app.
Run into the quad to grab some lunch. Be back soon. The away messages on AIM, the greatest.
Gross.
My roommate, well, quick stuff. My roommate got so annoyed. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Spaceballs, but my away message, every time someone left, it would come over my speakers. I had the Spaceball saying, I'd say, come back, you fat bearded bitch. Like every time someone left, that's what it would say over the speakers.
Like every time somebody logged off.
Every time the door yeah. shut, I had it. Then, come back, you fat bearded bitch. Like I would play.
All right. Last question for Miss Maddie, the new fiance. For Joey, our boy Joey here, she's flashing the ring. It's all flashy and shiny and stuff. So here's the last question we asked Maddie, Joey. What do you like best about Joey overall? What do you think Maddie says to that?
Oh, about me?
Yeah, it's the whole thing has been about you literally this whole time.
It's just easier to go the other way around.
That's right.
I don't know.
There's got to be a few things, right?
There's got to be good things.
Come on, you got to spit something out here.
I don't know. Like, I take care of the place.
He takes care of the place.
That's really sweet. He's not wrong.
But it's the wrong answer.
Yeah. But you're not wrong. That is very true.
I don't know what this one would be.
All right, so Maddie, hit us. The big finish. What do you like most about Joey?
I said that we're always on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're really aligned. Like, we have a lot of the same opinions, and we like and dislike the same things, and we have like the same thought in our head a lot of the time. So
literally the only difference of things we don't like are pickles.
That's a big deal, though. You guys are going to have to figure that out.
You just have mine.
I sense years of counseling for Joe to get over that.
I think we can just live without pickles. I can sacrifice the pickles. That's fine.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. That means
it's not a big ask. It's fine.
That's a big deal.
God, being on the same wavelength is going to make wedding planning so much easier.
True.
We finished it on the drive back to Nashville yesterday. We planned the whole thing.
Yeah.
Done.
Your sister's going to be pissed.
I'm kidding.
So again, that was our newlywed game. The good news for you guys is we asked 16 questions and you get credit for 10 and a half correct answers. So you nailed it.
Does it?
I think you nailed it. And I think the ones you got wrong were...
Well, yeah. The ones we got wrong weren't like far off.
And they were still nice. Yeah. You still did well.
Yeah.
You still gave nice answers. So Maddie...
Bam.
For me and Chad here on Garage Beers, congratulations. It was an awesome weekend. And you're jumping in with an awesome guy, our own Garage Beers Joe here. Thank you for jumping on with us tonight. Thanks for playing this little game and surprising Joey. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks. See you guys.
Love you.
I probably won't. I probably won't, Maddie, but it was nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you as well. See you guys.
All right, guys, that was a ton of fun. Thank you again to Joey's amazing, wonderful, incredibly kind, beautiful fiance, Maddie Hayride, or who is going to be Maddie Whalen at some point, or I guess I shouldn't assume that.
At some point.
I guess I shouldn't assume that. But after the wedding, and stay tuned to Garage Beers. We will be live streaming Joey's wedding. No, I'm just kidding. but no, that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun hanging out with Maddie a little bit and, just getting to know Joey, the person, a little more for you, the listener. So thank you again, Maddie. And again, congratulations to you guys it was just an awesome weekend. So that's going to do it for us here on the Garage Beers podcast. We just got one more thing we got to take care of. And as always, we end it with our three cheers of the week. And so to kick us off with our three cheers of the week, I'm going to send it over to Joey Whalen.
Oh, phew. Well, I think I'll cheer the Cleveland Browns. No, I'm just kidding. Absolutely not. I want to cheer my beautiful fiance. We had a wonderful time this past weekend, as we've talked about many times on this episode. But beautiful proposal, great weekend with family. So cheers to Maddie and her family.
Woo, Maddie and family. Chad, what's your cheer of the week?
Oh, God, did you have to come to me? No, I don't fucking know, guys. Cheers to Joey. Cheers to Joey for getting engaged, man. Taking the plunge. Honestly, congratulations, man.
Yeah, I think it
takes a second place to your lights.
No.
No, it does.
That was the first.
Oh, it does. It definitely does.
It does.
All right.
Joe, my cheers obviously goes to you and Maddie. It was a spectacular weekend. Like I said, cheers to the Botanical Garden here in Cleveland with a spectacular backdrop for Joey's engagement. Cheers to my wife for going covert with me. And we got pictures of Joey getting on one knee and proposing to Maddie. And cheers to just one of the most spectacular restaurants that we have here in Cleveland called L'Albatro, which is on Case Western Reserve's campus. And it is just, it's a French restaurant. It's got one of the best outdoor patios in Cleveland. If you need to take somebody on a date, take them to L'Albatro. It is awesome. We had our little private room that really took care of us, and the whole weekend was great. So cheers to you and Maddie, and a wonderful weekend.
Can you say that in an unruly French accent?
Oh, cheers to cheers to L'Albatro.
L'Albatro.
It was a wonderful weekend. I think I went German there for a minute. It was wonderful. That was not what I meant to say.
Sit in your private room with your
Oktoberfest.
Me and Joey were sitting there with our Zimas and our Smirnoff Ices.
And then you went to the strip malls.
Oh, your Gam Gam was a whore. All right. All right. That's going to do it for us. Those are our cheers of the week. Again, shout out to you, Joey. What a great thing, and a huge congrats to you. That's going to do it for us. Episode 80. It was a blast. Let us send out our thank yous. First of all, to Katie Najat, Cleveland legend, Cleveland champion. And again, the best pole vaulter in the world. Katie Najat joined us. We had a great time talking to her. Also shout out to Maddie for jumping on with us, for giving us some insight into the world of being with Joe. Crazy shit that must be. We appreciate her time on here as well. And of course, we want to thank our network, Belly Up Sports, the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network, and the Unhinged Radio Network. You can hear us on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network and Unhinged several times a week on Unhinged and Belly Up anywhere you listen to your podcast. And our last thank you, of course, goes out to you, the listener. Without you guys, I don't know that this would be possible. If you love us, if you love our show, get over to garagebeershop.com, get some merch. Otherwise, make sure you follow our socials at The Garage Beers everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that. Get over and follow them as well. So for Joey down there, newly engaged Joey down there in Nashville, Tennessee, at Garage Beers Joe. For Chad over on the east side of Cleveland, at Garage Beers Chad. I am Michael Keefe, at Garage Beers Mike. Until next week, episode 81. We'll talk to you later. Cheers, everybody.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around, a watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom, and a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.